This is Jordan Seculo. Hillary Clinton delivers her acceptance speech at the DNC. Where was the substance?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother, my hero, and our next president, Hillary Clinton.
America is stronger because of President Obama's leadership, and I'm better because of his friendship. The truth is, through all these years of public service, the service part has always come easier to me than the public part. I get it that some people just don't know what to make of me.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We need to appoint Supreme Court justices who will get money out of politics and expand voting rights, not restrict them. And if necessary, we will pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. I'm proud that we put a lid on Iran's nuclear program without firing a single shot. Now, we have to enforce it, and we must keep supporting Israel's security. I'm proud that we shaped a global climate agreement. Now we have to hold every country accountable to their commitments, including ourselves. I've laid out my strategy for defeating ISIS. We will strike their sanctuaries from the air and support local forces taking them out on the ground. We will surge our intelligence so we detect and prevent attacks before they happen. We will disrupt their efforts online to reach and radicalize young people in our country. It won't be easy or quick, but make no mistake, we will prevail.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I don't think that is Hillary Clinton's strategy to defeat ISIS. It doesn't sound like a new plan at all to me. It just seems like, as most of that speech last night, and to be fair, she delivered a good speech, not much substance, and policy-wise, I couldn't disagree more, especially when it comes to defeating ISIS, because it's a continuation of the failed Obama strategies. Remember, our New York Times number one bestseller, The Rise of ISIS, we talked about how the Obama administration, we've continued to, this policy of just airstrikes and focusing in on Iraq and Syria without disrupting the ISIS terror network, and the idea that we just will hamstring our commander-in-chief, even if it is Hillary Clinton, and not allow more troops on the ground, if necessary, to completely destroy ISIS and their safe havens like Raqqa. But what we heard last night, more of the same. So if you support the Obama strategy and think that that's working against ISIS, including, you know, their spread of international terror in the Western world, including right here in the United States of America, then I guess go ahead and vote for Hillary Clinton. Because we kept hearing all week, Terry McAuliffe, the VP nominee, Tim Kaine, a senator from Virginia, that Hillary Clinton has this plan to defeat ISIS. And I said yesterday, you know, if she has this plan, share it with President Obama now, and let's defeat ISIS, come together as a country and defeat ISIS even before the elections. But no, what do we hear? It won't be quick. It will not be quick, but ultimately we will prevail, which means more years, I'm guessing, of fighting ISIS. I want to take your phone calls about this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Also, a couple of other interesting points to mention. National Review, which I think was right on, said the only thing Hillary Clinton really showed she had conviction about yesterday, any conviction about, was abortion. She doubled down on it. Wasn't as direct as the previous speakers from Planned Parenthood and NARAL Pro-Choice America, but we'll play the soundbite where she references that. She wants the repeal of the Hyde Amendment so that you and I will be paying for abortions. But I do want to focus on her ISIS commentary, and we have a blog up at ACLJ.org. I posted it last night to my Facebook page, cross-posted at Red State, about how she misquoted our national motto, which is, "In God we trust, not e pluribus unum." A good phrase on our national seal, but not our national motto. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. We'll talk about all those issues. 1-800-684-3110. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, will be joining us from Washington, D.C. This is the final day for our matching challenge. Anything you're able to donate to the ACLJ is doubled, and we need your support. We're a little bit behind from where we were last year. Donate online at ACLJ.org, and in your email receipt, you'll get a code to watch our new documentary, Abortion Inc.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
I want to start off with a little bit of fun last night from Hillary Clinton's speech. Now, it's not funny because we're having to fight this in court, but she misquoted our national motto. Now, you could say that a lot of people confuse this. Someone in her speech writing team, even if you Google E Pluribus Unum, you may see it listed sometimes as a national motto. It is on the Great Seal of the United States. It is a good, in a sense, phrase. It's an important phrase, out of many, one that is the United States. So it wouldn't have been so wrong of her. In fact, it would have been just fine and absolutely great for her to use that as a political statement, out of many, one, to remind people about our country. That is not the issue. But she called it our national motto. And our national motto is officially In God We Trust. And we don't take this lightly because we're still having to fight for our national motto, whether it's the inclusion at the Capitol Visitor Center, which we had to fight for, whether it's defending it in federal court or on our currency. That national motto has been something we've had to be defending in federal court. In God We Trust. Take a listen, in her own words, Hillary Clinton, bite number three, right in the beginning of her speech.
Our country's motto is E Pluribus Unum. Out of many, we are one. Will we stay true to that motto?
You know, I mean, it's fine to say, again, it's an important phrase, but Than, even right now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we've got this in our new blog up at aclj.org that I co-wrote with the ACLJ's Matt Clark, also cross-posted at Red State. I posted it last night to my Facebook page. But we're having to fight on the national motto, In God We Trust, right now in federal court.
Yeah, to wrongly state what our national motto is, Jordan, it has ramifications. Nothing wrong with the motto that she said, but it is not our national motto. We are currently fighting a challenge in court to actually take the national motto, In God We Trust, off of our currency. And just to reach back a few years, I know our listeners have heard this, Jordan, but there was actually a legal challenge against including the national motto, In God We Trust, at the Capitol Visitor Center. We engaged on behalf of 50 members of Congress, interestingly enough, including Congressman at the time, Mike Pence from Indiana, now the vice presidential nominee on the Republican side, to defend the statute. The statute was passed in 1956 and enacted into law. It is the national motto by statute. Now, if you walk through the doors of the Capitol Visitor Center, Jordan, the very first thing you see in giant letters is our national motto, In God We Trust, inscribed. So by her wrongly stating our national motto is something else, there are real ramifications, and we end up having to fight against that in court.
And important to note, as you noted in our chat, Than, the VP nominee for the Republican Party, former Congressman and Indiana Governor Mike Pence, was on our brief on the Capitol Visitor Center. We had to fight to include "In God We Trust," our national motto, officially by law, in the Capitol Visitor Center. So when people visit the capital of the U.S. government, the U.S. Capitol, that they know what our national motto is, just like any other country you may visit around the world would put their motto up. Again, it's not the inclusion using the phrase, which is an important one, "E pluribus unum," out of many one. It's the fact that she misquoted what it was, and the angry atheists loved it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, who's filing those lawsuits against our national motto, "In God We Trust," sent out a bunch of tweets, and one I responded to because they said Hillary Clinton trumpets the motto, "E pluribus unum, from many come one," not the upstart, as they call it, because it was added in the 1950s officially, because, by the way, folks, we had no official national motto until the 1950s. The upstart, "In God We Trust," they say our faith is in each other. So I wrote back to them, angry atheists are excited about Hillary Clinton failing to quote our actual national motto, "In God We Trust." Freedom From Religion responded that they are not angry. So they actually were following my tweets last night during the DNC. Said they're not angry. They're just fighting against, I guess, zealots like us. Now, I don't think it's very much like a zealot to support a phrase which is inclusive, like "In God We Trust." This is, again, it's not specific to any faith. And I think all Americans can understand that's part of our Judeo-Christian heritage and the founding of our country, just like "E pluribus unum" is out of many one. But our actual national motto, "In God We Trust," if you want to share that with your friends, we've got a great blog about it and the seriousness of it because we're fighting it in court, up at ACLJ.org. Now, Than, I want to shift to substance. There wasn't a lot of it last night. What I heard was a third Obama presidency, which is a third term of the Obama presidency. Nothing new, really. She did throw some bones, I guess, to the Bernie Sanders folks with this no-cost tuition, which I think is going to be very difficult to get through Congress, even if the Senate flips. But when it comes to defeating ISIS specifically, and she said ISIS, it is more of the exact same strategy. Nothing new to defeat ISIS whatsoever. And to me, that's very concerning. What about you, Than?
Yeah, it sure was, Jordan. I mean, you know, I might not have been so surprised at this if the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC in the week leading up to this at the DNC convention hadn't been telling us that part of the reason there weren't a whole lot of mentions of ISIS or terrorism was because Hillary Clinton had a plan and she was going to lay it out for us. So because they had been telling us to expect this plan, to expect more details as it came to terrorism and ISIS, I was looking forward to it. I mean, quite frankly, no matter who the next commander in chief is, we need a more specific plan to eradicate ISIS. I thought she was going to deliver some of that. And then for her to get up there and in the span of about 30 seconds, Jordan, essentially say, "I will continue the plan that is working for President Obama," so very discouraging because it is clear to everyone that the influence of ISIS is expanding. They are not contained in the Middle East. The attacks continue on our soil. And it looks like her plan for eradicating them is just continuing the same plan that has been failing for the past several years. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, she keeps saying she's laid out this strategy, and other speakers, as you said, Than, noted that as well. I haven't seen it, and I think we heard it last night, and it's because it's the exact same strategy as President Obama. This is basically it in a nutshell. Let's just play Hillary Clinton in her own words last night at the DNC, Byte 26.
"I've laid out my strategy for defeating ISIS. We will strike their sanctuaries from the air and support local forces taking them out on the ground. We will surge our intelligence so we detect and prevent attacks before they happen. We will disrupt their efforts online to reach and radicalize young people in our country. It won't be easy or quick, but make no mistake, we will prevail."
I mean, it won't be easy or quick. Now, of course, no military conflict is easy. But the fact that it won't be quick, this drawn-out battle against ISIS, we already knew the Obama administration was going to pass this on to whoever the next president of the United States is. But what Hillary Clinton is telling us is that this will continue long into, if she becomes president, her term. Instead of going in and destroying the ISIS stronghold in Raqqa with real airstrikes, not these just targeted airstrikes at some ISIS leaders. Of course, no mention there of even the potential of increasing more ground forces from the U.S. and our NATO allies. And I think just it's important to mention that in that commentary, yes, we all want better national intelligence, but there's no plan for how we're going to get that better intelligence to stop the terror attacks like in Orlando or San Bernardino or what's happening in Europe as well. You know why? Because they don't want to focus in on the Islamic community in America. That's the problem. And so it's the exact same Obama strategy. And that is, again, a real problem for me. Also, when she got into Israel and Iran, we'll talk about that in the next segment of the broadcast. I don't like how she ties in the Iranian nuclear deal, which, as I tweeted last night, puts Iran on a path to a nuclear weapon to supporting Israel. That's how she's trying to have that. But we'll continue to take your phone calls. Let's take some now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Clint is calling in from Washington State on line three. Clint, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Clint, we're good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
I think it was in 2012, Obama called ISIS, not only did he call them the JV team, but he called them a manageable threat.
Yeah, like a regional threat. So they weren't serious, they're the JV guys, and that they could be managed in the region of Iraq and Syria. And what we've seen, Clint, I'll let you continue, but is while we have these airstrikes ongoing in Iraq and Syria and the genocide that's ongoing there and the horrendous human toll that's taken on the people there, especially religious minorities, but plenty of Muslims as well, is that ISIS has begun a terror reach similar to Al-Qaeda. So they've got both their ground forces and their kind of nation state that they like to be recognized as, even though they're not, but the Islamic State and territory they control and civil services that they run. But now they've got their terror wing. Go ahead, Clint.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't understand why he put him and Hillary, basically, they put, the climate change thing as the biggest threat to the world.
Yeah, we played that sound, Clint. And, I will play this. This is from Jim Comey, who we've had a little criticism for his handling of the Clinton email controversy when he basically indicted her in his 15-minute speech and then said there should be no charges. But he had this to say in a speech about what will happen through an ISIS diaspora. So basically a spread of terrorism, Byte 34.
We can't take our eye off what is largely a future threat. At some point, there's going to be a terrorist diaspora out of Syria like we've never seen before. Not all of the Islamic State's killers are going to die on the battlefield. Hundreds and hundreds of them, when the coalition succeeds, and I'm confident it will, in crushing the Islamic State, through the fingers of that crush are going to come hundreds of really dangerous people.
I mean, that's pretty scary coming from the FBI director, but that's not a reason not to crush ISIS. And by the way, why do so many ISIS fighters have to not be killed on the battlefield? And if we recognize what's going on at the UN level as a genocide, they will all be prosecuted for war crimes. They could be detained indefinitely, charged with war crimes. Those are serious, life in prison or even a death penalty in some cases. So why do we have to accept that? Go to ACLJ.org, be part of our matching challenge, donate. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-9255. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for listening on your radio station, maybe Sirius XM, or if you're joining us on Facebook and Periscope, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We wanted to break down, we've taken some calls, but kind of the key points we thought from Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech last night. It was historic, the first woman to be a major party nominee for President of the United States. It's important because she has a 50-50 chance, at least, of, if you believe the polls, of becoming president. There was a lack of substance for the most part. It seems like she's just accepting all of the Obama policies, maybe expanding on some when it comes to immigration and you know, legalizing more people, things he wasn't able to get done during his presidency, but that he wanted to do, expand Obamacare, continuing the same strategy against ISIS, nothing new there. And this part, too, praising the Iranian nuclear deal while trying to tie that, and this is what troubles me, because we know the Israeli people and the Israeli government do not support the Iranian nuclear deal. They believe it endangers the state of Israel, their people, and their safety and security. Bite 23, see how she tries it, Hillary Clinton ties this together.
I'm proud that we put a lid on Iran's nuclear program without firing a single shot. Now we have to enforce it. And we must keep supporting Israel's security.
Well, I mean, I agree. We must keep supporting Israel's security. Here's the problem when you tie that Iranian nuclear deal in that she's so proud of to continue on is, one, it's not even a binding agreement. And two, Than, what concerns me the most, I tweeted this as well last night immediately, is that she says it put a lid on Iran's nuclear program, but only for about a decade. And in a decade, without violating any international law, and with the whole world and all the sanctions that have been lifted, they will be able to replace their older centrifuges with more high-powered centrifuges and be on a path in at least the next 10 years. It could be sooner than that if Iran even sticks with this deal, which, by the way, isn't legally binding. It's not even a treaty, so nothing to hold them accountable for, really. And we've opened up their economy to the world, which we had closed at the Security Council. Now that's open. But then, it hasn't put a lid on Iran's nuclear program, and it's really put Iran on a justified path, if you will, to a nuclear bomb under international law. So they won't be violating any of the sanctions that previously existed, and in about 10 years, and that's not a long time in history.
Yeah, no question about it, Jordan. For her to use a phrase like put a lid on Iran's nuclear capacity just suggests that she's maybe not paying attention to what's going on around the deal right now. I mean, we said from the very beginning that even if the terms of this deal are honored, that down the road, Iran would have the capacity for a nuclear bomb. And we didn't trust them to adhere to the deal because there's nothing binding. We can't enforce it. We can't inspect. So really, the only difference between whether or not they comply with the deal or don't comply with the deal is a time frame for which they can achieve a nuclear bomb. And Jordan, it's really even worse than that now, as you started to allude to it. Now, after a decade, if they comply, they can actually shorten their time frame to achieve that capacity down to about 6 months. And quite frankly, that is an optimistic view of it. So for her to phrase it that we've put a lid on Iran's nuclear capacity, I just don't think it's honest, Jordan.
And I really don't like tying that into supporting Israel. That's how she's tried to sell this, is that, See, it's a good thing for Israel's security, which, by the way, no Israeli leaders agree with, because they all believe, as we know, that Iran is on a path to a nuclear weapon under this international agreement in the next decade. And so that's what troubles me the most, is not even just her support of the deal, which we knew she did, but the fact that she tries to tie it to supporting Israel. I'm glad she says she'll support Israel, and I think she might more than President Obama, but that Iranian nuclear deal is no good for the state of Israel. Let's take a comment coming through Facebook. Scott Becca Alingerich on Facebook said, so what was wrong with America 8 years ago? Why did we need change then, but not now? And we're going to talk about it in the second half of the broadcast, because Hillary Clinton was not proposing many new changes last night. In fact, more of the same, except for the fact that we've got this very stagnant economy in the United States, this new expanding ISIS threat that is not just contained to Iraq, Syria, Libya, or Islamic radicalism, the spread of that. We've seen this turmoil with the Muslim Brotherhood taking temporary power in Egypt and then being overthrown by the military. Turkey, the situation there, one of our supposed to be NATO allies, expanding, and expanding Russia. But the idea, again, that there was not much change offered. She's acting like it's, you know, I think the biggest change is she would be the first woman president. A big deal, certainly. And I don't want to take away from that. But policy-wise, I just don't hear anything different from what President Obama hoped to accomplish or wanted to accomplish. Tom Cooper on Facebook wrote that he agrees. She stated exactly what Obama has been doing, and it's not working. And that's why I think this election is going to come down to it's a very close, divided country. If you like what President Obama has been doing, whether it's domestic policy or foreign policy, you'll probably be voting for Hillary Clinton. If you don't like it, you'll probably be voting for Donald Trump. Both of these candidates, so I want to be clear because we don't endorse here, and I know we're being pretty tough on Hillary Clinton, but I want to be clear. Both of these candidates need to put out more specific policy when it comes to all of these issues, specifically on for Donald Trump on how he will defeat ISIS. I want to see that. He's got this great opportunity now because Hillary has just saying it's going to be more of the same. That's her full plan, nothing new. He has a great opportunity to put out a more comprehensive plan. Let's go to the phones because I wanted to talk to about this. Charlotte in Texas on line two. Charlotte, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, good morning, Jay. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Charlotte.
I've watched this political campaign and listened to both parties quite a bit. And one of the things that I've heard Trump say in one of his speeches or whatever is that he said he has consulted with various generals and talked to Navy SEALs, and that from their input, he says with an all-out, full-force military campaign that they tell him ISIS could be wiped out in anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months. And I wondered if you had heard anything about that.
Yeah.
Or had any comments about that?
I think what he needs to do, Charlotte, is to put that into a concrete plan. He doesn't need to give all the details. I understand Donald Trump when he says you don't want to tell ISIS exactly what you're going to do, how many ground forces, when you're going to do it, and the exact strategy. But I think to explain that in a more clear way that we could point to in a document, not just from a speech, I do agree that you could take out the ISIS strongholds in Iraq and Syria and Libya very quickly. And a lot of that could be accomplished by a more comprehensive air campaign, but you are going to need more ground forces. You got to take out their safe havens, the places they can plan their international terror. That's Raqqa and these other cities throughout Iraq and Syria. If as long as they've got those places, this is how they are not only conducting what's happening in the Middle East and their region, but it's also how they're spreading their ideology to carry out the terror attacks in Western Europe and in the United States, because they've got a place to operate from, to utilize the internet, to produce their videos, to produce their recruitment propaganda. You've got to take that out. I do believe it could be done quickly. Does that mean there won't be any remnants of ISIS or that Islamic terrorism will be no longer a threat? Absolutely not. It will continue to be a threat to our world. This is a fight for generations to come. But when it's specific to ISIS and their strongholds, the way you stop their reach of international terror that we're feeling right here at home in the United States is by taking out their safe havens. We come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. Remember, we've got a second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. If you don't get it on your radio station, we're broadcasting live. You can watch us on Facebook and Periscope and get your comments in that way as well. And of course, on Sirius XM, Than will be joining us, Harry Hutchinson as well, one of our senior policy analysts here at the ACLJ, to continue to break down Hillary Clinton's speech. That's the focus. She is the DNC, the Democrats' nominee now. Remember, our matching challenge, a great time to donate to the ACLJ, final day, and we're a little bit behind. If you donate online at aclj.org, any amount will be doubled, so you can double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ, and you'll get an email receipt so you can see our brand new ACLJ documentary, Abortion Inc. We'll be right back.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for listening and watching. If you're joining us on Facebook and Periscope or your local radio station or Sirius XM, Hillary Clinton accepts the Democrat nomination last night. It was historic. The first woman to be a major party nominee for president. And she's got, if polls are correct, a 50-50 shot of being president. We don't endorse or oppose candidates on the air, but we do go through their speeches, especially a major address like this, point out what we thought was important. A lot of it, honestly, was I think it was more about imaging. And that's not such a bad thing during an acceptance speech like that. Of course, it's not all going to be hard policy. But I do think that's where actually Hillary Clinton excels, is when she's talking policy. But I think she gave about as good of a speech as she can give. There wasn't a ton of substance there. And where it was, where there was ISIS, or the nuclear deal, and it was mostly just a continuation of Obama policies. Nothing really new. The only part new was, I will expand on what Obama has done. So I think what she's saying to the American people, and listen, about 50% of the country is there, so it's not like it's a horrible political strategy, just going to be a very narrow one, is that if you like the last 8 years and you want to expand on those policies and you trust what President Obama's done, then trust me to continue that legacy on, which is kind of what President Obama said the night before. It's why he really needs her to become president of the United States. I want to take some comments that have come in through Facebook, because we focus on the fact that nothing new in Clinton's plan to defeat ISIS. This was from Andrea. She's concerned, Andrea Christman on Facebook, that ISIS knows too much about our strategies, that we should not give specifics. Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton, let me just say, on Hillary Clinton's side, she didn't give any real specifics. She just said it's going to be more of the same. So ISIS can prepare for more of the same, which is some of these targeted airstrikes, no major ground force commitment. And yes, we want to increase our intelligence to prevent terror attacks abroad, outside of the Iraq-Syria region. That's great. But again, no, for ISIS, it's telegraphing exactly what they can face, which is, yes, there'll be these air campaigns, but if she becomes president, probably not a major ground invasion they've got to be concerned about. Now, when it comes to Donald Trump, I just think you don't have to give specifics on timing, troop numbers. You don't even have to say this is definitely what we'll do. But the options, you know, when you make the broad statements that we can get rid of them quickly, kind of say, what are those options? How would you do it? Not so we're giving the enemy too much information. I get that. But I do think it's important for the American people in the election to see the distinction. So it's not just everybody saying, one candidate saying, I can do it quickly, Donald Trump, and then Hillary Clinton, which I think is pretty scary to say that it won't be quick. It will be a long time to defeat ISIS. I mean, as she said, let's play it by 27. When it comes to defeating ISIS, don't expect any time soon under a Clinton presidency by 27.
It won't be easy or quick, but make no mistake, we will prevail.
Then do they just not take the ISIS threat seriously, and they don't want anybody focusing on that in this election? I mean, the domestic terrorism that's happened here through ISIS in our own country, what's happened in Europe, and then saying, you know, by the way, don't expect this to be quick, but ultimately we will prevail. I mean, that's great. That's what everybody's been saying in the Obama administration, too.
Yeah, Jordan, my sense is there's just a fundamental misunderstanding of what the goal is here. I mean, listen, nobody believes that every jihadist terrorist on the face of the planet can be eradicated in a short amount of time. But what can be accomplished, and where I think Donald Trump is correct, is that in a short order, the big, strong magnet of the caliphate that you know jihadists around the world now look to and say has been established, that can be defeated. That can be crushed. You don't have to kill every ISIS fighter for the magnet of that caliphate to be crushed. And that's the understanding that I don't think Hillary Clinton demonstrated last night. That is something that could be accomplished in short order and must be accomplished in short order. And you don't have to give the specific tactics you would use to do it. But a commander-in-chief certainly has to be committed to that goal.
Anne wrote in on Facebook, when it comes to the national motto, by her stating that E Pluribus Unum, which is wrong, it's in God we trust. Is that Hillary Clinton's plan to change the motto? I don't think so. But the far left, the angry atheists, they love it. So I think she's still appealing to that liberal base. We come back. Promise those of you on the line, we're going to be taking a lot of phone calls in the next two segments of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. I think now we kind of laid out everything from the speech so we can get to your questions and comments. Be part of our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war. determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Before I get to your calls, just two more points I wanted to play from Hillary Clinton. She did address the Supreme Court. No surprise there. It will move to the left, and she wants to get rid of free speech in politics. Unless you're a labor union, it's fine there. But if you're another kind of organization like the Citizens United ruling, it's not okay for you to have freedom of political speech unless you're a labor union. It's not okay for your church or your religious organization. Remember the ACLJ, we can't endorse or oppose. It's a 501c3. Unless you are a labor union, which you get the same tax treatment, but you get to get involved directly in politics. Take a listen. Byte 15, Hillary Clinton last night at the DNC.
We need to appoint Supreme Court justices who will get money out of politics and expand voting rights, not restrict them. And if necessary, we will pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United.
This is what scares me about that. A constitutional amendment to restrict Americans' First Amendment rights to freedom of speech. I always say the more speech we have in politics, the better. If people want to spend their resources and spend their own money, they should be able to get the message out about the political views they have. That adds a better discourse, and it leads to less influence from just the very rich or just those few corporations. And by the way, the labor unions. You know, you could get rid of Citizens United, but those labor unions would still have those rights. Second, she was not as direct on abortion as the previous speakers at the DNC, including the head of Planned Parenthood, who was sitting next to Bill Clinton during speeches earlier in the week, and the head of NARAL, who got an applause for talking about her own abortion. But she did make a passing reference to the government funding of abortion. You have to read between the lines a bit, but of course we can do that at the ACLJ. We know these key words they bring up. Byte 17, Hillary, on expanding women's rights to health. And by the way, that really is just key phrase for the government paying for abortion. Take a listen.
If you believe we should expand Social Security and protect a woman's right to make her own health care decisions, then join us.
See, that right to make her own decisions, the only right she could be referencing there is abortion specifically. And no one wants to take away from women's health. And I think we made that clear on our broadcast. But there is a way to do that through all of the clinics that exist in the country and not fund abortion. But they're going a step further. They want to pay for the actual abortion procedures. Planned Parenthood already gets almost $500 million a year from the federal government, but they can't use those dollars to actually pay for abortions because of the Hyde Amendment. The Democrat platform has called for a complete removal of the Hyde Amendment. Hillary supports that. Tim Kaine supports that. And that means that our taxpayer dollars would actually pay for abortions. I'm going to bring in now in our discussion Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst at the ACLJ, and I want to do it with a phone call as well because many of you have been holding on. Now that we've got the policies out there, we got two segments up, so we will get to your phone calls as well. Let's go to Ryan calling in from Dallas, Texas, on line four. Ryan, thanks for holding on. And for those of you who've been holding on for a while, stay on and we'll make sure we get you a copy of our either Undemocratic or Rise of ISIS. Thanks, Ryan. You're on the air.
Thank you. Earlier I was going to comment on what some of the other callers said, so I'm going to kind of just go into the next part. But it basically, I can't believe that she's still able to get so much support. Like, I can't comprehend it. There's a guy named F. William Ingall, and he's a Princeton graduate, a geopolitical analyst, and he wrote a book, and he's got some free podcasts out there. People have to go listen to this because this isn't an 8-year thing. ISIS isn't new, and it really goes back to the Rockefeller Grants and the Council for Relations.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, you can get into a lot of specifics here. I'm only cutting you off because I don't want to confuse people too much. The truth is ISIS came out of a vacuum created in Iraq. There's always been this threat from, and it's been much greater, from Islamic terrorism. And we've experienced that even before 9/11, but it's kind of surged around the world through Al-Qaeda and their safe haven, the Taliban, North Africa, whether it's Al-Shabaab. And then, of course, you've got the fighting in Nigeria as well. So you've got that spread across North Africa. And then, of course, what's happened in the Middle East. And then the Iranian Shia radical Islam back through Hezbollah. So it's been around, but there's been a surge in ISIS because of a vacuum created in Iraq. They split from Al-Qaeda in Iraq. There is a lot of, Harry, I want to go to you. There is a lot of people, I think, very concerned when Hillary Clinton says it won't be easy or quick to defeat ISIS, but we'll ultimately do it. And the strategy, which she said, I've laid out my strategy, and she gave it to us last night, is the exact same that President Obama has been trying to implement.
Jordan, you're precisely right. In essence, Hillary has stated affirmatively that she wants to defeat ISIS, but her strategy, when you look at it closely, is essentially no different than the fail strategy of President Obama. Virtually everything she said she would do, including striking the Islamic State's sanctuaries from the air, supporting local forces on the ground, surging our intelligence to disrupt attacks, it's already being done with limited effect. Nevertheless, at the same time, consider this. ISIS is on the march in Europe, in Africa, and Asia with almost daily atrocities. As a change agent, does Hillary Clinton have a new strategy to stop ISIS? Can she allay the national security concerns that weigh heavily on American minds since the horrific attacks in Paris, Nice, Orlando, and San Bernardino? I heard nothing new last night, and that's very disappointing from a candidate who claims that she is a change agent.
Yeah.
So what is the change?
And she had an opportunity because Donald Trump has talked in pretty broad terms as well, not much of a specific plan. We're being very fair here. He has said he doesn't want to give it away to ISIS, but I don't think he's been clear enough. I think he can be clear. I think now he's got the opportunity to come out and say, okay, Hillary Clinton wants more of the same. This is how we're going to change it and do it. So it will be quickly. It's not easy. I think she's right about that. Military conflicts, defeating radical Islamic terror groups like ISIS, not easy. But the fact that it won't be quick, that's what's scary, is that we're going to continue on with this fear that we're all living in, whether it's those facing genocide in Iraq and Syria or in spreading out through Libya and then North Africa, or the terror attacks that are occurring just as recently as in Normandy, France, throughout Germany, and right here in our own country, as Harry said. But we do have calls, too, about that bigger issue of this change agent, Harry. And I want to go to William in Macon, Georgia, on line six. The bigger idea, not just the ISIS issue, but this bigger idea from Clinton last night, because I think she had opportunities to get more specific, to say how she would be different from President Obama, not having to criticize him, but say, here's what I'm going to do different as a president because of what I've learned as Secretary of State at the U.S. Senator. Just wasn't there. Let's take William's call, and then we'll discuss it. William, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. I got 2 points real quick.
Sure.
First, I got the rhetoric and then the reality. First, the rhetoric. Okay. on the outside, you see Hillary Clinton, you know, telling the support she got this plan for protecting Israel and things against nuclear weapons and all this type of stuff that Iran has on the outside. But the reality is the fact that everything she said is just an echo of what President Obama said or whatnot. And I really believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, each and every person, whether they're a Hillary Clinton supporter or not, that we're the intelligent people. And we know it's obvious that, what's been going on and what's been happening throughout this time of President Obama's tenure. So if my this is why I say in conclusion with that. If people want the next 4 years to be like it was these last 8 years with all this terrorist acts happening, then continue to vote for Hillary Clinton.
But I think the same with healthcare, William. And by the way, if you want to hang on the line, you were hanging on a long time, and get one of our books, Rise of ISIS or Undemocratic. We'll make sure to send it to you. Hang on, and we'll get your address. But Harry, and I'll go to Than as well, so both of you. The idea is Hillary Clinton last night, I totally agree with William, is I just didn't hear anything different. I heard some ideas about expanding some Obama policies. Yeah, legalize. She said the path to citizenship, not building a wall. That's nothing new. It was just things that he wasn't able to accomplish.
Absolutely. So I think a Hillary Clinton administration would see an expansion in executive overreach. The president was unable to accomplish everything he wanted in terms of immigration reform. He said initially that he was not a king, but nonetheless, he attempted to unilaterally expand the rights of illegal residents in the United States. Hillary suggested that she wanted to build on President Obama's progress on the economy. The economy is not in great shape for forgotten Americans. It's certainly in wonderful shape for people like Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, when you're on the speaking circuit and you've got the Clinton Foundation, which is now under investigation by the IRS, not that we have a lot of faith in this IRS's investigation. They're really playing that down, saying we get these references all the time and we refer them. But again, it is under investigation.
Absolutely. And one of the great ironies is that Hillary Clinton says that she will be tough, for instance, on Wall Street. The Wall Street Journal today points out that Hillary Clinton has received $45 million in political donations from hedge fund managers.
Yeah.
Donald
She's not
Trump,
Bernie Sanders.
Donald Trump has only received $20,000.
Yeah.
And so the question becomes for Bernie Sanders voters whether Hillary Clinton will provide the nation with real change.
Trump's been very critical, too, of the hedge fund managers. He wants them to be paying the same taxes that most Americans pay. Clinton, you have to imagine, maybe not. Go to ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Anything you donate will be doubled. It's the final day of that. ACLJ.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Jay Sekulow, this is our rapid fire round. We take is all the phone calls that are here. So for Chad, Pam, Donna, Andrew, Robert, we are going to get to your calls. And we've got one line open at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, your comments coming in through Facebook and Periscope. I did want to mention our brand new ACLJ documentary, Abortion Inc. And what a time for this documentary to come out when you have the DNC putting forward center stage the head of Planned Parenthood, the head of NARAL Pro-Choice America, who got applause yesterday for her saying her statement that she had an abortion and getting applause and cheers for that. We discussed that yesterday. The new documentary is available at abortionmovie.com, but it's a little different than how we've done it in the past. We have a matching challenge right now, final day. Anything you donate to the ACLJ online at aclj.org is doubled. That means, just to explain, I know you've heard, some of you have heard it before, but a $10 donation becomes $20. There's no limit to that either, and there's no minimum. Any donation, so even if you donated a dollar right now online at aclj.org, in your email receipt, you will get a code so that you can watch the full-length ACLJ documentary, Abortion Inc. You can see the trailer. We played that for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, and you can see that at abortionmovie.com. But to get the full-length documentary, any donation you make at aclj.org, you'll get the code to watch it in your email receipt. Be part of our matching challenge. We need your support. We're a little bit behind, and we're doing a lot of work here in the United States and around the world. So go to aclj.org today and make that donation. Let's get right to your phone calls. Those of you who've been holding on a long time, Chad in Washington State. Chad, definitely don't hang up after your comment, because we will get you a book, your choice of Undemocratic or Rise of ISIS. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, you there?
We're here, and you're on.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for accepting my phone call.
Absolutely.
The question I had was, I just don't understand how Hillary can even run for president with all the investigations that are going behind and all the illegal stuff that's been going on. Like, I don't understand how she's not in prison.
Well, I mean, she hasn't been prosecuted. She hasn't been indicted. I mean, she as much as these scandals plague her, and I think it's fair to call them scandals, Than, ultimately, you can have the congressional hearings. You can have the Benghazi committee. They can refer things to the FBI, and the IRS is now investigating the Clinton Foundation. But unless anything happens, nothing is barring her from running for president of the United States. She has not been indicted for or convicted of, the investigations have been closed for the most part. There's this new one on the Clinton Foundation, but I don't expect that going anywhere with this IRS, which failed for the targeting of conservatives. So what do you think, Than?
Well, not only has she not been convicted, but like you said, she hasn't even been prosecuted. And I would just say, from the outside looking in, it looks to me like she is benefiting from insulation from the FBI and the DOJ. I mean, you can speculate that the meeting with the attorney general that happened with Bill Clinton might have played into their decision not to prosecute. We don't really know is the truth. But the bottom line is, there's a lot of smoke out there that she should have been prosecuted. And somewhere between the FBI and the attorney general at the Department of Justice, the decision was made not to prosecute her. Frankly, that's why she is where she is.
Right, we're going to continue to take phone calls. It's the rapid fire round. Let's go to Robert holding on in Maryland. Robert, always a great caller on line five. But if you do want one of our books, hang on after your comment. We'll make sure we get them to you. And maybe if you've already got those, Robert, put you on the waiting list for the new book coming out as well on this unholy alliance, Iran and Russia, which my dad's talked about some. It's not available yet. But, Robert, thanks for joining us today. You're on the air.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I already have the other two books.
We'll get you on for that. You definitely deserve, Robert. You're a great caller with great comments always. We'll make sure when the new book is out, you get a copy. So hold on. We'll get the information from you.
Hey, I appreciate that. It's good to talk to you both, Jordan and Than. I wanted to ask a couple of questions, and maybe a third question, in rapid fire. First, as Hillary Clinton and her acceptance speech to be the Democratic nominee for the President of the United States, did she say anything remotely different that she would do in terms of strategy to defeat ISIS? That's the first question. The second question is, with all of the scandals that have been surrounding Hillary Clinton, particularly the email scandal, knowing that she's lied about several details about the email scandal, why hasn't she been indicted yet? And she talked about beefing up intelligence. Would that include restoring powers to the National Security Agency that was taken away from them in light of the Edward Snowden controversy and in light of the bill that Congress passed and was signed into law by the president, taking away the bulk metadata collection and replacing it with a call dial detail program?
Yeah, I mean, Robert, let me say, great questions. I can answer a couple of them very quickly. When it comes to ISIS, no, I didn't hear anything new. I mean, yes, she said ultimately we'll prevail, but it'll be a long time. So not a quick strategy to defeat ISIS. No, nothing about maybe ground troops continuing to hamstring our strategy there. The same as the Obama strategy. She wants better intelligence, as she said. We'll get to that because that was your third question. Indicted? No. I mean, the investigation on the emails has been closed, so there will be no indictment there. There is the Clinton Foundation investigation by the IRS, but the IRS has really played that down, and they're kind of running out of time, and I don't expect anything to happen. Now, if she doesn't become president, Donald Trump does, she could be in some trouble for these endeavors. But I'm talking about, you know, what will affect our actual this campaign. I don't expect it to. On the third point, and I don't want to take up too much time, so we've got some people been holding on, but it's a great question. The intelligence issue, and Than, this has been a concern in Washington as well. And Harry, I want you to both weigh in. Obviously, there's a failure, and we've got FOIA requests in about this, but there's a failure because whether it's happened in Europe or in the United States, a lot of these people have been identified. They've been investigated by law enforcement. They've been, number of times in San Bernardino and in Orlando. These people were on the FBI's radar, and nothing was done to stop them. Dan?
I'll just be very quick. I would say I would highly doubt if she intends to reinstitute some of the things that Robert talked about, but this is really the point. That is something, Jordan, she could have provided a lot of clarity on, and she provided exactly zero.
Yeah, I mean, we need to rebuild trust to start those programs again, because I think Americans, both on the right and the left, are concerned that the government interferes too much with what they shouldn't be focusing on as Americans instead of the terror threat, Harry.
Absolutely. And I think the FBI, for instance, has been hampered by political correctness. And the same thing has been true for the DOJ and the Department of Homeland Security. They haven't pursued real leads in part because they're afraid of offending certain segments of our population. Instead of being afraid of offending people, they should be more interested in protecting Americans.
Rapid fire calls. Donna in Connecticut, thank you for holding on. And make sure if you want to get one of our books, Undemocratic or Rise of ISIS, hang on after your comment. We'll get your address and send it out to you. Thanks, Donna, for joining us today.
Okay, thank you for taking my call and for the good work you're doing. I'm just a little confused. I believe you said something about Hillary should be using NATO to deal with ISIS as well as other tactics, and yet when Trump talks, he's very adamant about getting out of NATO.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think Donald Trump, and I'm just going to answer this quickly, has not said we need to get out of NATO. He's saying, you know, we need to be making sure everybody's paying their fair share. And I think there is some concern about Turkey there as well. NATO is very important. We don't need to get out of NATO. It's kept what Europe and the U.S. and the West very united. But there are concerns there, one with the responsibilities the U.S. has and how others are not always paying maybe what they're responsible for, and getting those NATO parties to act correctly, like Turkey, who should be a much more of a partner, and there's a lot of concern there. So I don't think that's right, Donna, to say that Donald Trump wants us out of NATO. Let me, Pam, very quickly, you've been holding on in Macon, Georgia. Got about 15 seconds for you, but I wanted to get to your comment.
Well, my comment was just this. Last night, she said that she had had a part in the Iran deal. Didn't we just have a big scandal about she was not part of the Iran deal?
She was part of getting the Iranian sanctions in place, and then those sanctions have been lifted, which she said is great because they were what led to the nuclear deal. So she's taking full credit for it. She's embracing it, the Obama nuclear deal. We'll talk about it more next week as well. Go to ACLJ.org. We talked about it a lot today. Be part of our matching challenge. We need your support.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ.